Good morning, early birds. You've caught the Weekend Worm, a special edition that recaps the top stories of the week and heads up on what the newsroom is following for the upcoming week. It's the fourth week of January 2026, Saturday and Sunday, the 24th and 25th. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. Certainly the story of the week is the delayed entrance of serious winter conditions. The National Weather Service is forecasting much of eastern Montana will face extremely cold temperatures through this weekend. The Weather Service is predicting wind chills as low as 45 below zero for the High Line from Hill and Blaine counties in the central part of the state to the North Dakota border and south to Custer, Carter, Fallon, and Rosebud. There's a warning that with wind chills, the cold can cause frostbite on exposed skin in as little as 20 minutes. Weather Service also urges adults not to leave children at the bus stop and stay with them until the bus arrives. Also urging owners to keep pets indoors as much as possible. Be sure that outdoor animals have a warm, dry shelter, food, and unfrozen water. These cold temps will pose a danger to young livestock. Across the state over the weekend, we'll expect partly sunny skies for the day, Saturday. Temperatures averaging upper teens, low 20s, light wind. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, low will drop to zero in many regions, light wind. Sunday, sunny, high in the mid-20s overall, calm wind. Sunday night, mostly clear, a low in the teens, wind around 6 miles per hour. Monday, mostly sunny, warming to the mid-30s, mild wind, and mild wind Monday night, mostly cloudy, lows around low 20s. The work week began this week with the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. It was a day of remembrance and service as Montana State University Billings celebrated Martin Luther King Jr. Day. YPR's Kay Erickson had this story.
The day began with a short remembrance ceremony and the annual bell ringing at MSU Billings Peaks to Plains Bell in the Peaks to Plains Park in the northwest part of campus. The dozens of participants then moved indoors to Petro Theater to hear from several speakers, including MSUB Chancellor Stephanie Hixwa, New Billings Mayor Mike Nelson, and Wayman Chapel Pastor Simon Bergen.
So today, as we honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., let us recommit ourselves to living out his dream. Let us protect our neighbors. Let us defend dignity wherever it is threatened. Let us ensure that hate finds no home here in Billings.
This year's keynote speaker was United Way of Yellowstone County CEO Andrew Conkle, who said MLK Junior Day is not a day off, but a day earned, about getting involved and coming together.
Because no meaningful change ever happens alone. Every moment that reshaped history, civil rights, disability access, women's rights, labor protections, started when people stopped waiting and started showing up together.
Following the program, people gathered to work on service projects, part of a week-long series of events focusing on the power of getting involved, leave your legacy. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
Montana Public Radio has been following economic effects on the region's farmers and ranchers. Over 50 U.S. agricultural groups have penned a letter to President Donald Trump urging for more support. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler filed this story earlier this week.
Farmers across the country have called for increased federal support for months, citing dire economic conditions. A letter sent to Congress on January 15th, signed by 56 prominent agricultural groups, warns of further fallout. The letter says an alarming number of farmers are, quote, financially underwater. President Donald Trump offered some support to farmers in the reconciliation bill passed in July. He also issued a $12 billion aid package to help cushion farmers' losses, in part due to federal policy impacts. But agriculture leaders say that isn't enough. Scott Kolbeck, Executive Vice President for Montana Farm Bureau Federation.
There's a lot of work to be done, and what we do need to let Congress know it's still urgent. Their work's not finished.
Democrat and Republican lawmakers have introduced potential funding plans offering more aid to farmers. Congress has until January 30th to approve a budget. In Missoula, I'm Victoria Traxler.
Montana Public Radio's Shaylee Ragar contributed this story midweek on the state's congressional delegation's reaction to President Trump's remarks on Greenland.
On the anniversary of Trump taking office a second time, the state's Republican delegates lauded many of his policies, like on immigration and the economy. But their reactions to the president's foreign policy have been mixed. All four delegates commended Trump on the capture of Venezuela President Nicolas Maduro. Congressman Ryan Zinke, a former Navy SEAL, told News Nation that striking Venezuela was necessary, but he was hesitant to support the U.S. taking over Greenland earlier this month.
I think being a liberator is a much better position than being a conqueror.
Zinke said he'd be open to the U.S. purchasing Greenland if its citizens were supportive of it. The country's leaders and other NATO nations have consistently denounced the proposal. During a recent teletown hall, Congressman Troy Downing said he does not support any action that would put NATO at risk. Spokespeople for Downing and Zinke pointed to their previous statements on Greenland when MTPR asked about Trump's plans, but did not answer specific questions. Senators Tim Sheehy and Steve Daines did not immediately respond to MTPR's request for comment. In a statement last week, Daines said it's important for all NATO countries to work together to protect the alliance. At Montana's Capitol on Tuesday, four military veterans led a rally protesting various Trump policies. About 200 people attended, including David and Sue Mannix, who identify as independent voters. David is a Vietnam War veteran. Sue says Trump's actions, like pushing to take Greenland, undermine her husband's service.
And instead of being a proud American, I hang my head in shame at what is being allowed to happen.
The rally speakers called on Montana's delegates to push back against Trump. In Helena, I'm Shaylee Ragar.
In Wyoming, lawmakers are considering cutting over 600 core subject and elementary school teachers across the state to save money. Jackson, Wyoming's KHOL Sophia Boyd Flegel reports education leaders are trying to sound the alarm.
Consultants previously recommended that Wyoming boost education spending by $100 million. But lawmakers on a select committee overseeing a recalibration of school finances have so far proposed an increase of $11 million. If they stick with that smaller funding bump, Kim Amon with the Wyoming Education Association says,
And the real losers in this are our students.
Over 93% of Wyoming families enroll in public schools. Amon added lawmakers are putting more money into career and technical education. She says that's good, especially in a state where
we have a lot of industry where CTE is valuable.
But she added that's a small win in the face of big cuts. The School Finance Recalibration Committee meets later this week to finalize proposed legislation. Sophia Boyd Flegel, KHOL News.
Montana is one of two states that has never introduced a bill to regulate cell phone use in schools statewide. That's according to a first-of-its-kind report from National Child Safety Organizations. A growing body of research indicates student phone use during school negatively impacts learning. Three dozen states have a law that at least partially restricts use during school. Eight are now considering restrictions, and four have introduced bills that died before they could become law. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte last year tried to secure funding from lawmakers to incentivize schools to adopt student cell phone bans. That request failed in the legislature. The Montana School Boards Association says roughly 90% of Montana schools have a full or partial cell phone ban in place. And in a surprise announcement from Missoula, University of Montana's president is stepping down. There's a whiff of speculation in the air. And our story this week that is likely to keep on giving, Aaron Bolton of Montana Public Radio tells us more.
Bodner's announcement was emailed to the UM campus community first thing Wednesday morning. Speculation about his future caught fire last week after former Senator John Tester expressed support for Bodner running for the U.S. Senate as an independent. If Bodner has political ambition, he's keeping mum about it for now. Wednesday's announcement made no direct mention of his plans, save one line that could be open to interpretation. Mentioning his wife, he said, quote, "Service has always been the animating force of my life, and Chelsea and I would like to consider whether to pursue a new way to serve our state and our nation." The ambiguity isn't stopping political tongues from wagging. Conservative Political Action Committee Leadership in Action released an ad Wednesday afternoon criticizing Bodner for mulling a Senate run while working as a state employee.
Seth Bodner, planning a Senate run on the taxpayer's dime is wrong, but Bodner's record...
Bodner declined all media interview requests Wednesday. The announcement did not specify when the resignation takes effect or who will lead UM on an interim basis. UM spokesman Dave Kuntz tells MTPR Bodner's departure comes in the middle of the school year and with shorter notice than usual. Despite this, he says officials expect an expedited search for Bodner's replacement. According to Kuntz, Montana Commissioner of Higher Education Clayton Christian will help ensure the campus seamlessly navigates the leadership change. Bodner led UM for 8 years. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
While MTPR is licensed to the University of Montana, no University of Montana officials or station management reviewed the coverage or had any editorial input. Finally, some good news this week includes a major announcement in the arts. Opera Montana announced in a press release Friday the world premiere of A River Runs Through It in September 2026, celebrating the 50th anniversary of Norman MacLean's beloved Elegy to Family and Fly Fishing in Montana. The creative team for the adaptation includes music by Zach Redler, libretto by Matt Foss and Kelly Rourke. Matt Foss will also stage direct the premiere. Foss knows the big sky well as a veteran with Montana Shakespeare in the Parks over the last 3 decades. He is excited to share Opera Montana's vision of one of the definitive American stories of the 20th century and a classic depiction of the American West.
That idea of space is something that we're preserving. So there won't be a lot of ticky-tack of curtains. It will flow and eddy and curve following Zach's music, but it will be seamless and highly theatrical. Professor MacLean, you know, Norman was a Shakespeare scholar, so there's a little bit of that Elizabethan staging. They declared, now we're in the Forest of Arden, in the same way that now we are in the summer of 1937, or the Big Blackfoot, or Wolf Creek.
The premiere of Opera Montana's production of A River Runs Through It takes place September 18th and 20th and 25th through the 27th at the Ellen Theater in Bozeman. Performances will follow October 3rd and 4th in collaboration with Missoula Symphony Orchestra at the University of Montana's Denison Theater in Missoula. For more information about Opera Montana's production of A River Runs Through It, visit operamontana.org. You can also find out more at Opera Montana's performances of Ragtime running at the Ellen Theater through February 1st. A second-floor room at the Ellen features an exhibit on the upcoming premiere. The epic Tony Award-winning musical Ragtime is making its Bozeman debut at the Ellen Theater in a new production by groundbreaking stage director Francesca Zambello, artistic director of the Washington National Opera. Ragtime was a major Tony Award success in 1998, receiving 13 nominations and winning 4, including Best Score, Best Book, and Best Featured Actress. Artistic director Michael Saker shared some details about the Opera Montana production, some memorable songs, and the show's enduring relevance in our contemporary world.
How's Montana holding up to scaling down what was this grand epic production to an intimate epic production?
I'm so glad you asked that, Carl. I think that anyone who came to see our production of Ragtime would not say that it was scaled down. I think that the production value is the highest that we've ever accomplished at Opera Montana. Certainly the directing and the design team that Francesca has assembled and brought to Montana is the same world-class team that she works with in Glimmerglass Opera, Washington National Opera. They have elevated what we have ever accomplished before on the Ellen stage. It's miraculous. And at the same time, the core of the story is around these characters. It's around the E.L. Doctorow novel's characters that really shape the spirit of this story. And the focus has been on that, but also what I love about this production, and I think, to my knowledge, this is the first time that anyone has ever designed or conceived of a ragtime in this way. This is not every other period production. You are not only going to see period costumes or period sets. The truth is that this story is far more relevant today than it was when the musical premiered in the 90s, or perhaps even when the book was published in the 70s. The themes of racism, sexism, being afraid of immigrants and income inequality. I mean, these are all in our headlines today, unfortunately, far more than they were in the 90s. And Francesca and her team wanted to emphasize that in the production itself. And so, particularly when you look at the costumes, for example, there are far more contemporary references. Eric Teague, our costume designer, did what he could to illustrate class and origin in suggestions, in parts of the costume that aren't the full costume. And you can just see literally on stage how this story is so relevant today and so much more relevant today.
Can you just talk a little bit about some of the music that represents this musical?
What's so unique about this particular musical is that it is hit after hit after hit after hit. It just does not let up. It is a roller coaster of blockbuster numbers. And one thing that folks sometimes criticize about this show, but I actually love about it, is that there are literally three different climaxes over the course of just the first act. The first act is epic in scope. It's almost 90 minutes long. And by the time you get to about 70 minutes, you hit your first climax. It's the song New Music. And then just right after that is the song Wheels of a Dream, sung by the characters of Colehouse Walker Jr. and Sarah as they serenade their infant son about the promise and the hope of the American dream. And as if that weren't enough already, a series of tragic events lead to the climax of Act One. And then you have the incredible blockbuster number When We Reach That Day. It is a emotional roller coaster from start to finish.
There's also been some community engagement from this production. Tell us a little bit about that.
Over the course of this month, Opera Montana has been presenting far more community events than normal because of all of the fortunate or unfortunate parallels that we see in today's society. One of those was actually a very fortunate event. A couple weeks ago, Opera Montana partnered with the U.S. District Court in Helena at one of their naturalization ceremonies. And we performed that duet, Wheels of a Dream, about the hope of the American dream to the newest citizens of America. It was a very special event, and I'll never forget that.
Performances of Opera Montana's production of Ragtime run this weekend through next at the Ellen Theater in Bozeman. For schedules and more information, visit operamontana.org. That's The Weekend Worm for the third week of January 2026. We'll have another episode of The Worm this Monday, and we'll keep the weekend editions coming too. I'm Carl Lengel. Have a great weekend.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.